Well, there you go. There's your intro.
I'm like so out of breath right now.
I thought your COVID was over.
It is. So after I text you saying that I'm up and you're like, Emerson's napping, I'm like mid on my way to Mama's house to get Anthony's present to get beat him back home as I'm on E and my debit card's at the house. So I'm like doing a whole lot of driving and rushing and trying to beat Anthony and trying to beat my gas tank and trying to beat Emerson from waking up.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah, like a light.
Well, we also need to get them gifts out for the Patreon.
Yes.
Because I talked to one of them the other day and was like, did you ever get that gift? And she was like, no. And I was like, well, see what happened was.
I don't go over there no more. And I've been gone. Yes.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I was like, well, she talked about doing it. And then I left, and then she had COVID, and then I left again, and then I don't record over there, so I'll get it to you.
A lot of the packages kind of, like, set around a little bit extra because of old COVID. It's like I quarantined them, too.
You didn't want to contaminate them.
I didn't want to contaminate them, so shipping got shut down, and everything got postponed, and now with the Postal Service, it's just going to take a little bit extra to get to you. I mean, it's half my fault, half the post office fault, but it's all good.
They're trying.
Some will get here sooner than others. Today's episode was supposed to be the Scott and Lacey Peterson. Apparently, 2 weeks of research was not enough to get it all.
That's why you should just be a detective and just have the research.
It was not enough to type it out. Because there's a lot, and a lot more that I didn't even know, and I thought I knew a lot. So
I don't know any of it.
Well, next week for sure, I'm going to have to be like, the next couple of days.
Well, I would say send it to me, and I'll do it for you, but we all know I probably won't be able to read your notes to do that, because I can barely read your notes as I'm reading the notes typed out.
Shush your face. So anyways.
I'm just saying. Would you be able to understand my notes if you just read the mailbox? How many people would understand that? Just the Patreons?
Just the Patreons.
So if you want to understand it, go to our Patreon.
Not on Patreons. This episode is getting pushed back a week. But it's going to be well worth it because it's going to be good. It's going to be juicy.
So if it's juicy, is it really good or is it really bad?
Like a lot of detail. And
do you consider good murders and bad murderers? Like, I don't like this murder, but I like this one. This one's a good one. Okay, that was awkward. You're supposed to answer that and you didn't.
Well, I didn't know if I answered it the wrong way. Would I be a weirdo or more of a
weirdo?
Either
way, you're going to be a weirdo.
But anyway, so today we are going to release the episode that we were planning. I don't know what was coming out of my mouth because it was definitely not planning.
Yeah. But you need to plan better what you say.
But we are releasing the first episode that we recorded for a new series that's coming out next month.
No, it's coming out today, right now.
I know, but it was supposed to come out next month just for our Patreons.
So surprise! Merry Christmas to you. You get it for free.
So if you like wrongful convictions,
then you should have put a ring on it.
I was going to say that you should go check out our Patreon page.
What's wrong with me? Merry Christmas Eve, and you'll hear from us again on New Year's Eve before we magically think everything's going to be better in 2021.
Because it will, right?
Sure.
Okay.
That's how it works. 11:59, your life is crushed. Midnight, everything's better.
Sounds legit.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, is it New Year? No COVID?
I wish.
And then everybody have a good year.
Mm-hmm. Like, party, party, party. Are you ready to start this new series on our Patreon page for our mini crimes?
Mini crimes, episode one.
Where we're going to talk about wrongful convictions.
So, what you're saying is they got arrested for a crime that they didn't even do?
Exactly.
Well, this one that you sent me is Nicholas Yaris. Am I saying that right?
I guess. It's like Harris, but with a Y.
Yeah. Yaris.
Yaris.
But he served 21 years. And let's find out why, because I have no idea.
No, thank you.
You wouldn't want to serve 21 years for nothing?
I wouldn't want to serve 21 days.
I wouldn't want to serve 21 seconds. Beat that.
I mean, I don't like to use the bathroom in front of my husband. Like, if I'm peeing and he walks in the bathroom, I'm like, get out! So, there's no way I would ever be able to pee in front of just random people.
I'm the same way.
If me and Anthony's been together this long and I cannot use the bathroom with him being in the bathroom with me, like, there's no way I'm peeing in front of everybody else.
This happened on December 15th, 1981. A young sales associate from the Tri-State Mall in Pennsylvania was abducted in her car after her shift ended. When she did not arrive home, hours after she was due, her husband called the police. Investigators quickly locate her yellow Chrysler abandoned on the roadway in Chicxulub, Pennsylvania. The following day, the victim's body was found beaten, stabbed, and raped in a church parking lot a mile and a half away from her car. Newly fallen snow covered her body. She was still clothed, but the murderer had cut open her thick winter clothing to commit the sexual assaults. The police determined that she had bled to death from multiple stab wounds in her chest. A sperm sample and fingernail scrapings were collected from the victim's body. So, police also collected gloves believed to have been left by the perp.
Yeah, it's supposed to say perpetrator, but I would have said perp if I read it. So I just put perp.
Oh, okay. Police also collected gloves believed to have been left by the perp from the victim's car. 4 days after discovery of the body, police stopped Nicholas Yaris on a Pennsylvania roadway for a traffic violation. The route stops escalated into a violent confrontation between Nicholas and the officers and ended up in Nicholas's was arrested for attempted murder of a police officer. Holy cow, that escalated fast. While in custody for this offense, Nicholas was accused of committing the Tri-State Mall murder. He became the prime suspect of the murder investigation. According to detective statements, Nicholas was asked, "Did you mean to kill her?" And the response by saying, "I never meant to kill anyone."
Uh-oh.
Okay. Oh, first of all, I'm wondering how that got pinned on him. And two, why was he trying to kill a cop?
This is what I'm putting together. I mean, like, have not side Googled any more than what we found on the Innocence Project page. But just Leslie mentally, like, painting out this picture. Yes. I assume he got pulled over. they needed somebody to kind of like pin it on. There's enough, you know, kind of like to pin it on him when he got busted at the traffic stop. So the cop was just like, you did this. And he was like, oh, no, I didn't. And they're like, yes, you did. And he said, oh, no, I didn't. And then a fight broke out. And they're like, oh.
What, he pulled out a gun? Or he probably like said, I'm going to slap you. And they're like, oh, attempted murder.
Yeah. So, you know, going all these things. So that's what I'm thinking happened.
Okay, Detective Leslie. Testing was performed on the rape kit, the results of which could not be excluded. Nicholas, along with the evidence, prosecutors relayed on the testimony of the jailhouse information and identifications by the victim's co-workers. They identified Nicholas as the man seen harassing the victim before her murderer. They identified Nicholas as the man seen harassing her, the victim, before her murder. 1982, Nicholas was convicted of murder, rape, and abduction. He was sentenced to death. Holy cow.
That ain't playing.
Really escalating. Still, Nicholas proclaims his innocence, leading to a long struggle for DNA testing of the crime scene evidence. In 1989, he became one of Pennsylvania's first death row inmates to demand post-conviction DNA testing to prove his innocence. Wait, so they weren't even going to get the results and they were going to just kill him?
Looks like it. Or I think they might have did DNA in the beginning and it was just kind of like, well, it's not enough to... It doesn't match, but not enough to rule you out, you know, kind of thing.
It's not, it could be a relative. It's not you, but it could be a relative. So We're not going to say no. Successive rounds of DNA testing of various pieces of evidence follow throughout the 1990s. All failed to proceed conclusive results, with hopes wanting. A breakthrough occurred in 2003 when Dr. Edwards Blake conducted a final round of testing on the gloves found in the victim's cars, fingernail scrapings from the victim, and the remaining sperm obtained from her underwear. The profiles obtained from the gloves and the sperm evidence appeared to originate from the same person. On July 2nd, 2003, Nicholas Yaris was excluded from all biomaterials conducted with this crime.
Connected.
Yeah, that's what I said. He was conducted. On July 2nd, you're going to keep that in there too. On July 2nd, 2003, Nicholas Yaris was excluded from all biomaterials connected with this crime. On September 3rd, 2003, based on Dr. Blake's result, the court vacated Nicholas's conviction and he became the 140th person in the United States to be exonerated by post-conviction DNA testing. Due to a 1985 conviction for escaping charges in Florida. So, Nicholas didn't try to escape.
He said, "Mug, I did not do nothing." And he said, "I'm gonna leave."
So, you get pulled over for a traffic violation. You get arrested for attempted murder. You get a murder charge thrown on you. Then you try to escape jail. Okay, we got Florida man already. Florida man in 1985 was convicted for escaping the charges. Nicholas still had 30-year sentence on his record and he remained in jail. So he was proven innocent and because he escaped jail, he had to go back. Yeah, we done found our dum-dum of the day. He was right here. You innocent, but because you escaped before we told you you can leave, you got to go back. On January 15, 2004, Florida reduced his sentence to 17 years. Holy cow. Time served and granted his release. The following day, Nicholas Yeris was finally freed from Pennsylvania prison after spending over 21 years behind bars for a crime he did not commit. So wait a minute. Was he in Florida? Was he a Florida man, or he was arrested in Florida?
I think he was arrested in Florida or sent to Florida for like a jail. I don't really
escaping charges in Florida.
I have
Florida
not.
And Pennsylvania is not close states together.
Yeah, I don't know why he was sent to Florida, or if
unless they send him out of state prison like they do.
Yeah, or if he escaped Florida like years ago and he was still on the run and they sent him back. I don't know.
What'd he do then? We need these answers.
I don't know. I just.
So once he was innocent, he still had 17 years to do because.
No, once he was innocent, he was found innocent on September 3rd, 2003. And in January 15, 2004. He finally got released. So, like, he only served
21 years.
October, November, December. 4 months after he was proven innocent.
Wait, when? Because he ran? He had to do 4 months because he ran? Oh my gosh, this just keeps getting dumber. Like, dummy. And the more that we... Oh my gosh. Did he not know that he was going to be really, I mean, I get it. You're in jail for 21 years for a crime that you didn't do. You didn't think it was going to come to a thing where, hey, you're going to get proven innocent. You're going to get released. And it's like, hey, dummy, you're innocent. Run away. Oh, guess what? You get to stay a little bit longer. So we're going to stick with this as our dumb of the day. You got another one.
A dummy of the day.
Because we already got our Florida man right here.
Oh, we do have a Florida man. It's a little short and sweet. Florida man wears Crocs, gets bitten
by a croc.
A crocodile exhibit farm.
What? He wears the Crocs and gets...
Florida man wearing Crocs gets bitten after jumping into a Crocs exhibit at an alligator farm.
Oh, yeah, you dumb, because what do you think? Just because you're wearing Crocs, you a crocodile now?
Crocodile Dundee.
No, that don't work that way.
He was left baffled when they came across.
My Crocs didn't work. They didn't protect me from the crocodiles. Is that why he was baffled? Because he just assumed that Crocs save you from crocodiles.
Okay, so let's see. It just has like a little bitty clip about employees. It says employees at the St. Augustine Alligator Farm was left baffled when they came across floating Croc shoes.
So they ate the man, but they didn't eat the Crocs. No, they didn't eat
the man because the man's right there with his mug shot.
It was a joke, but they didn't eat the man. I mean, they ate the man. They just didn't want the crocodile shoes.
But yeah, that's...
We ain't going to jump in with Crocs. Why didn't he just take the shoes off?
Maybe he thought the Crocs he could walk across water because those things float. I don't know.
When they got weight bearing them down.
I don't know. He's a dumb dog. Jesus,
he ain't walking across water.
He had to be on something good to even think, oh, let's go walk with the Crocs in my Crocs.
Yeah, let's just end it on that one because, yeah.
So, don't be a dumb, walking in Crocs with the Crocs.
Be a smart one and go to our Facebook page.
Toodaloos.
Lose. I'm done. Toodles. I'm done with you. Hey, Mickey Mouse over there. Oh, toodles.
Toodles. Toodles. Toodles until next time.
I'm done with you. Bye.